St. Matthew's Gospel, we begin at the 13th verse. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord for our lives today. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you to another chapter of God's Storyboard, and today we're talking about rebuilding the walls, an important moment in the life of the nations of Israel, and now really remnant nations. The northern tribes, they've been scattered. Only a few have been welcomed back. Many have been annihilated, the lost tribes. There remains the tribe of Judah. That was the tribe of David, the tribe of which Jesus would come. They've returned to Jerusalem. They have begun to rebuild the temple, and the temple is in construction and now rebuilt. But the walls around the city, the walls that would protect the people of God, the walls that would protect also the temple, in rubble. And Nehemiah has been called by God to rebuild, to restore, to renew. In the community I live in, the subdivision here in Naperville, there are a couple homes being flipped on our cul-de-sac, and I give thanks for that. They were in some tough time, and now, you know, someone's going to come in, build up the property value, and those individuals have great vision as they flip those homes. It's interesting to watch. It's fun to see. One other thought that came to me when I was thinking about Nehemiah this week of rebuilding, restoring, and renewing is that gift to all of us of moms. How many of you moms in this room have had to rebuild, restore, and renew on your watch? Wendy's kind of smiling. Too numerous to count, Wendy? Probably. You know what I'm talking about. And so as we go through the life of Nehemiah today and we learn from him in Scripture, may we also give thanks to the moms who have given us the gift of new life, refurbished us with the gifts of God that were provided to them. I give thanks. Let's pray over this moment. Lord God, thank you for Nehemiah. Thank you for moms. Thank you for the renewal that continues through their connection to you on our behalf. May we all think about how, in the midst of learning from Nehemiah and seeing moms in action, we might also be people choosing to rebuild, restore, and renew for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Lead us, guide us, direct us today, Lord. We're yours. Use us in this time we have with you. We pray in the name of the one who is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if I said to you that life throws challenges your direction, would you agree with me? Yeah, all the time. Challenges come daily when we awaken, and they come in different forms, different sizes, different dynamics. And you can either see a challenge as an opportunity, or you can see it as an obstacle, correct? You can either run into the challenge, try to do something about it, or you can run away from it. The choice is ours. It can be either something that touches your heart, or something when it goes into your brain and you think about it, it causes you to have a huge headache. Challenges. Nehemiah had a huge challenge that was put into his possession. The walls surrounding Jerusalem were in rubble. He had had communication with those back in Jerusalem, the remnant that had started to return. There were still some that were far away, and his heart was heavy. He started his journey with heartbreak. How many of you in this room like to have your heart broken? Not so much. It takes me back to fifth grade when my heart was broken by the little girl that sat two seats behind me. We don't like to have our heart broken. It's not a fun moment or time. And yet I do believe that if you do not have your heart broken for things which are of God-sized proportion, you're not going to ever get in the game. You'll sit on the sideline. Enter the life of Bob Pierce. Bob Pierce, a businessman. His journeys in business would take him often to China and to Korea. Doing his business, doing wonderful work, Bob also, as he walked through the city streets, would see individuals living in poverty, significantly children, and it started to invade his soul. So much that he began to pray a prayer before God. Oh God, break my heart with the things that break your heart. Bob Pierce was led, once he prayed that prayer over and over again before God with a broken heart, to not only find its origin of Samaritan's Purse, but also World Vision, two organizations that we work with here at Good Shepherd. Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child. Every Christmas, we bring those shoeboxes packed for kids globally to have a Christmas. And World Vision, we sponsor kids in Uganda as a congregation. Many of you all over the world work with World Vision. Some of us are in training crazily right now to run a marathon with Team World Vision to help with clean water, all because someone's heart was broken and because they prayed. Nehemiah is an administrative genius. He is a power broker in his community. The scripture right after Rich, if you go to chapter 1 and read the next line, it says, "And I was the cup bearer for the king." What does that mean? Sounds like, you know, you kind of follow along behind in a wagon or something being pulled, carrying the cup. No, this was the CIA or the Secret Service for the king. And the cupbearer, Nehemiah's role, was to make sure that the king did not ingest anything which was poison. That meant you needed to ingest it first. So Nehemiah's life was critical to the well-being of the king. So he wasn't only a powerful, visionary, unique human being, he also was a tender-hearted man. And his heart got broken. Broken when he was in communication with those back in Jerusalem. For he loved the things God loved. The kingdom of Israel, God loves. The city of Jerusalem, God loves. The people he created in his image, God loves. And things weren't good back home. And Nehemiah had this heartbreak, big time heartbreak. Break my heart, God, with the things that break your heart. He prayed often. I just lift up a couple of verses for you. chapter 4, verse 20 says, our God will fight for us. Nehemiah believed that when he prayed. Chapter 13, verse 31 says this, remember me with favor, O my God. We're talking about an consistent prayer over all things, with a huge expectation that when his heart was broken, connected to the things that God loved, great things would happen. Interesting, last week, Pastor PJ led us through Esther at just a time like this. Esther was lifted up to do some great things to protect the people of Israel, and her husband was King Xerxes. Interesting, Nehemiah serves under the son, Artaxerxes, which happens to be Esther's stepson. And so it's interesting, all of this connects together, and here's Nehemiah, just a time like this, another moment. He can't run away. He knows he can't run away. God provides some spiritual journey, some wonderful image through two prophets, Ezra and Malachi, and Nehemiah receives the powerful word of God spiritually, so do the people, and he goes to work, and he rebuilds, and he restores, and he renews. 52 days it took to build the wall. That's it, 52 days. That's like, I don't know if we could build anything in our culture today in 52 days. He goes into this rubbled wall around Jerusalem, and he puts teams together, and he has critics. Mind you, he has many critics, and they want to take him down. They don't like what he's doing, but God provides, and God is strong in his providing. And it all begins with a broken heart, a tender heart. So I have three questions I want to lift into your possession today. And as you hear them, and not only hear these questions coming and emanating from the story of Nehemiah into our life today, but I think they reflect a lot. I think they do in what my mom has taught me. I got to spend some time last week with my 96 and a half year old mother. She still breathes life into me. And we have these wonderful conversations about what it means to be alive on this earth, not just to exist. Not just surround ourselves with the things that matter to our own individual sphere, but to really focus on why God has us walking on the face of this earth. We're created in his image to do good works. So the first question I want to ask you today, how tender is your heart? How tender is your heart? One of the things I know about my journey over the last couple of weeks, months, years, the world that I journey into and the world you journey into is always there to not allow your heart to be tender. We are predisposed to judgment. We want to know what we believe. We find ourselves on either side of the aisle. We know how life should be lived, and if someone doesn't think the same way we think, what do? We call them our enemy. That's not a very tender heart. And everywhere I turn in today's culture, we are being pushed away from tender hearts and more towards judgmental hearts, more towards setting up our boundaries around our own lives instead of building the wall of God that will provide joy. I don't know how to get over this, but for us to begin to think about our hearts becoming tender for God, about praying the same prayer that Bob Pierce prayed, and to pray it every morning. And I want to invite you to have it be your prayer. Break my heart, God, with the things that break your heart. If you pray that prayer every morning, your heart will become tender real fast. Because you know what matters to God? Look at the people next to you. Don't look at yourself. If you have a mirror, don't look, put it away. Look at people around you. That's who matters for God. We do. And not only those of us who are in this sanctuary worshiping God today, but every human being on the face of this earth, every human being. Now, that incorporates some pretty dastardly, horrible, imaged people that we can think about right now. They matter to God. God's heart breaks. He wants all people to come to him 100%. Not like 80%, and there's going to be 20 that are going to like burn in hell. Why? I don't know why we think that's a good solution to point our fingers at people and think judgment is where God leads. God doesn't lead with judgment. The cross is about salvation. Amen? You know it is. This is the season of Easter. He is risen. I said that was meek. Can you do this better for me? He's risen. You better believe he is, and that matters. And that should make your heart tender. Because God gave his son for our lives. God's son died, bled out for us, so that we might have life and live it eternally. And our lives aren't just to go through the days that we go through and the things that we choose to make important. God wants our hearts to be so tender that when we meet another human being or another situation, we don't think of ourselves first or our political persuasion or the United States of America or any of it. We think of how would God handle this situation, and that becomes our first and only thought. This is not easy, but it is what God wants. And just like when Nehemiah prayed that prayer before God that we heard today, that Rich read from the first chapter of Nehemiah, just as Bob Pierce prayed his prayer, break my heart, O God, with the things that break your heart. And when you continue to pray to God, get ready, for God's going to do great things. Question two, are you looking for opportunities to represent God? Are you? What's your afternoon like? PJ and I were talking. I know what you're doing. You know what I'm doing. Mother's Day. It's going to be a great, Julie, you have a great day on store. PJ, I'm setting you up, buddy. It's a good day. It's a wonderful day. We have our schedule already in the Wenhold household. I'm sure you have yours. And I know where I'm hitting the ground running tomorrow morning. And I looked at my week last night. I know where it's heading. But you know where it's heading? A lot of it's heading in the direction I want it to head. Or the things that I'm engaged in right now. And when I pray the prayer, break my heart for the things that break your heart, oh God, God might, no, he will, bring new things to me that aren't even on my schedule. And if I hold them at arm's length or I say they're not mine, I'm going to just walk on by. And that's not what God wants. He wants to put you into the game of doing life with compassion and love on his behalf. But you have to be looking for opportunities to represent God. It's a mindset. No, it's a heart set. That when someone knocks on your environment and your sacred crucible that kind of surrounds you, you open wide and you help them no matter what it does to your sacred schedule during the week. For God wants to blow up our sacred schedules. And he wants to tell us there's only one thing that's sacred. That's doing life with him. Tender hearts. Having the opportunity to represent God. But I think it all boils down to this third question. Do you really believe that God will provide? Is God a figment of your imagination? He is a nice holy realm that we come to celebrate on any given Sunday or at our Bible study during the week? Or does God actively participate in your life on a regular daily basis? And each one of us has to figure that out. Because we have gifts to use. And if God is just in his eternal kingdom and doesn't come and walk with us and unite us and guide us. And we're going to go back to hearts that get a little hard and lives that only have our own schedule at the core center. God wants you to know, as Nehemiah knew, he knew it with every step he took. He knew it with every vision that he had when he left to go to Jerusalem. He knew that when he got there, there would be struggles. He knew it with every brick that he put in the wall, with every critic who wanted to take him down, with everyone who wanted to kill him when God wanted to use him. And when Nehemiah just opened up his life to God, he knew God would provide and great things happened. Do we get stuck allowing our hearts to get hard, not looking for opportunities to serve God, not believing God will do great things and has a purpose for our own human lives? You better believe we do. And I want you to break through that moment this morning, to think about what are the things in your life that you might need to rebuild, to restore, and renew. 500 years ago. Wow. Built on a rock, the church must stand even when steeples are falling. Crumbled have spires in every land. Bells still are chiming and calling, calling the young and old to rest, calling the souls of those distressed, longing for life everlasting. This October will be 500 years from the day that Martin Luther nailed 95 reasons the church had to change on the church door in Wittenberg. You know, it sounds like he was this militant guy, right? Like in a flak jacket, you know, he had the armor of God and you know, no one could touch him. He was superhuman Martin. Man, that would be wrong. His soul was touched. It was broken by God for the church. He had this desire that the church might become something new. And God used a broken heart in Martin Luther to change the way we wouldn't be doing church the way we do church today without this man's broken heart. A mighty fortress. That'd probably be good. Can you play a little bit for us today? Can you sing? Sure you can. Let's sing the first stanza of A Mighty Fortress. A mighty fortress is our God, a sword and shield victorious. He breaks the cruel oppressor's rod and wins salvation glorious. The old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe with craft and dreadful might. He arms himself to fight. On earth he has no equal. The final stanza of that powerful hymn, which was a bar-drinking tune that he put words to of the culture of the day. God's word forever shall abide, no thanks to foes who fear it. For God himself fights on our side with weapons of the Spirit. If they will take our house, goods, honor, fame, and spouse, wrench away life, they cannot win the day. God's kingdom is forever. And that powerful moment 500 years ago, which sounds like the armies were surrounding and he was going to blow away the church, started with a broken heart and prayer. The same two elements of which Nehemiah built the wall around Jerusalem, a broken heart and prayer. The same elements that Bob Pierce worked from, a broken heart and prayer. Moms, you know how you've worked before God. A broken heart, many times. Prayer, often. Unceasing. I had the honor over the course of the last week, two Sundays, to speak at two churches I've served on staff and as senior leader. And they were both celebrating their 60th anniversaries back in Pennsylvania. And it's interesting, when you go into a 60th anniversary celebration or any anniversary celebration, it's all about the past. And so people are telling all these past stories. Well, I got to tell you, that kind of gets at the core of what I do believe God wants us to build on the rock. He wants us to build on, as he said to Peter today in the scripture, on his power and strength. He wants us to build on what we know, but he doesn't want us to stay there. And I reminded both of those churches that if all they did was to look back over the next 10, 20 years, they'd probably not be around anymore. For God allows us to use the past, what we experience, what breaks our heart, to understand the present, what we experience, what breaks our heart, so we can forge into the future with experience, what breaks our heart, with prayer. And it continues, and God wants the Church of Christ in every age to valiantly move forward. Onward, Christian soldiers. I sang that as a child, didn't you? And you know, it sounds like marching off to war. You know, it's not about this power moment. It's about a broken heart. It's about a tender part in your soul that God wants to use. It's about prayer, unceasing prayer every day, saying, put me in, God. I want to represent you. Just put me in. And I guarantee you, God will open doors for you. He will be present, and you will be light for him. No greater thing that we could do. For I know in our families, there are shattered edges, struggles that we all engage. And when we break for the things that break God's heart, we know God wants strong families. And we pray over that, and God will come and he'll provide if you open your heart to your family, if you engage relationships that you may have with other human beings which aren't going so well. Allow your heart to break in that moment. Allow your prayers to rise up before God to say, God, I want those relationships like you do to be strong, and God will act. He will be there and show up, and he'll put you in. He does it not only in our intimate personal sphere. He does it when we think about how we can be used in our community and beyond. I watch so many of you get involved in situations that break your heart. Rebuilding Together Aurora just happened a couple weeks ago. It continues to happen all year, and it's a great thing to get involved in. But why do people go and help rebuild homes? Because their hearts break when they go in and they realize people don't have what we have in our Naperville surroundings. Those of you who work at Hesed House, well done. Why do you go? It's because your hearts break over the homeless. And your prayers rise up in the way you participate. There could be so many ways you get involved. Take it globally. Continue to work as you think about how you support the mission edge of this church, which, you know, 17, 18 years ago, it really wasn't much of anything. And I believe because our hearts have been broken here in this church and community for those globally, and we've prayed over it, and people have gotten in the game, expected God to show up, things have happened. This is in each one of our possessions today. It comes as a reminder from Nehemiah. It comes from a reminder from Bob Pierce and Martin Luther and our moms. But hear it deep in each one of our souls. God is calling us to rebuild, to restore, and to renew. Let's pray. Lord God, guide us to the challenge of tomorrow. And may our hearts be tender for the things that we see out there that we know you don't feel good about. And they are breaking your heart. May they break ours. And may we take action. We may be ready to participate, opening up our time and schedule for you to act, and then expecting you to be there. Lord, you promised to do that, and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.